Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where educators go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top leaders across the globe. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Danny Sunshine Bauer.
This is episode number 129 with Kyle Hamstra. Hi there, my name is Danny Sunshine Bauer. I'm a former classroom teacher and school administrator turned life and leadership coach. I'm also the host of this podcast where each week I share my conversation with top leaders across the globe to help you accelerate your leadership development. In today's show with Kyle Hamstra, we explore a number of interesting topics like why Kyle was not a fan of social media at first and why he changed his opinion, what it's like to win an ASCD Emerging Leader Award, people crave authenticity, and are you open to trying something new? Thanks for spending some time with me listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. But before we jump into the episode, I'd like to take some time to thank our show sponsors. I'd like to share an amazing free resource for all listeners of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. It's the Top 10 School Fundraising Ideas for 2017. And that's available at schoolzonepodcast.com. And just like the title says, you get the Top 10 School Fundraising Ideas for 2017 at schoolzonepodcast.com. Well, hey there, Better Leaders. I am here today with Kyle Hamstra, who is the at DDE Dolphin STEM Specialist, the hashtag ISTE Speaker, at ASCD Emerging Leader, hashtag NCPDK Board, After School Director, at Marbles Raleigh Advisor, a hashtag EdCamp Wake Organizer, and a hashtag 180 Creator. You tried to get me, Kyle, but I got through it. Kyle, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
So let's start with the hashtag 180. Tell me what that's all about.
Wow. Thank you for pronouncing it that way, too, to get the double emphasis on the hashtag. Ooh. I really appreciate that. That was intentional. Yes. There's actually a long story behind it. And it is one that's my journey of connecting and becoming a connected educator today. It's the reason why I choose to connect today. And it goes all the way back to 2013. Before then, I was totally opposed to all social media. I thought it was evil. I thought it was bad. And I was so dedicated to trying to enhance science lessons for fifth graders. And what happened was I would be on vacation and I would see an example exactly of what we're learning in fifth grade science. For example, there's an awesome example of erosion. And it's more meaningful because I'm seeing it and I'm living it right now. And so I would take a picture of it and then I would upload it to Walmart or CVS or Target, something like that. The pictures would be printed. I would take the picture and I would put it on a poster board and I would then add that to our classroom wall or decoration, and I would have students write a comment underneath it about how this example from vacation could connect to what we're learning in class. And if you can believe it, I first joined Twitter so that I could archive specific examples of fifth grade science. The curriculum was so challenging, and a lot of it is abstract when you get into things, concepts like weather and air pressure. They can be really challenging to learn with a 10-year-old or an 11-year-old. And so I joined Twitter so that I could take pictures, write a comment, and have an archive. I really liked archiving. And then there came a point where I wanted to hashtag all of those tweets so that I could go back a week later, a month later, a year later, and bring that up as an example again. So the whole process of archiving and trying to enhance science lessons for fifth grade students went from me taking pictures on vacation and printing them and putting them on a poster board all the way to now it's digital. And it wasn't until later in 2013 and then from there on, I realized Twitter as a social media platform was way, way more than just a place to archive learning and curriculum resources and hashtagging them with specific curriculum objectives. So, for example, if you wanted to see what fifth grade students were learning in North Carolina in science class for weather. I could go into Twitter and search hashtag SCI5E11. And that would bring up our first objective that fifth graders are learning in North Carolina for science. And there are several different examples of what they're learning right there. So it was my attempt to archive and to enhance the curriculum that was abstract and challenging and that we didn't have all of the resources for at the time to make learning better for students. And that's how I originally got into any social media. And I still favor Twitter to this day. And I've tried some other ones, but the power of Twitter and the power of connecting goes all the way back to hashtag 180.
Love that story. Thank you for digging deep and giving us the history behind the hashtag. It's so interesting. You know, you wanted to archive and build that resource to add value to the, you know, larger education forces at large, right? And then you saw, though, that it was much more than just a archival tool. What was that moment where you saw, I guess, the power of it?
Oh, my. The journey is unique, isn't it? Most people don't enter social media through the desire to archive. I can see that now. And it's almost like that was the seed that was planted. And from there, it blossomed into all of these opportunities. It went from simply archiving examples of what we're learning in science to also math to maybe how can we empower students to start doing this instead of the teacher, because really they own the learning. It went from connecting with a couple of other educators who were connecting on Twitter in my own school to the school down the road to another county to educators across the state of North Carolina. Then beyond that, it became so much more, and it's still growing. If I had an hour free at night, I would rather go on Twitter and learn from all of the amazing leaders in my professional learning network rather than watching television.
Yeah, it's really, that's pretty wild. And so who are some of the, I guess, the main connections you've made, or, you know, let's add some value to the listeners. Are there people that they should follow or any Twitter chats that you participate in that you find extremely valuable?
Oh my, wow. Yes, there are so many. I can tell you a routine I have is going to bed early on Friday night. You know, in my younger days, I would stay up later on Friday night and reflect on the week. And now, being a little farther along in my learning and life journey, I realize Friday night's a great night to go to bed early so that yeah. I can get up early on Saturday morning to try to get a cup of coffee before SatChat. And SatChat is my number one favorite at the time. I really like the moderators. I like the topics, and the people that participate in SatChat are great leaders, and they're there intentionally early on a Saturday morning, 7:30 a.m. Eastern time. And some weeks it's this set, and then the next week there's 50 new leaders and educators on there exchanging ideas. I think they're on summer break at the moment, but during the school year, they really challenge for the total hour. And summer break means for SatChat that they shorten it to just half an hour. So I really, really love SatChat. The moderators, I believe, Billy Krakauer and Brad Curry and Scott Rocco. They are fantastic leaders, and there are so many other Twitter chats that I follow. It's interesting. Some are weekly. Some chats are monthly. I really like the ASCD L2L chat. L2L is leader to leader, and that's monthly, once a month. There are so many chats. And the hashtag, starting out the way I did on Twitter with hashtag 180, it makes sense to me to see the power of the hashtag. The Twitter chat is not just an event. It's not just one moment for 1 hour on Saturday. If you have TweetDeck open and you can see your columns, there are educators and leaders adding their knowledge and experiences and resources to a specific hashtag all the time. It's constant. It's 24/7. It's really, really powerful.
So listeners, we're going to have that all linked up for you in the show notes. Kyle talked about Sat Chat and L2L Chat. One of my favorites is Lead Up Chat, which is also Saturday mornings at 8:30 Central. So there's a variety of ones, you know, and you can search for them. There's a Twitter chat calendars, and I'll tell you what, also link up what's a blog post I wrote maybe 2 years ago called The Ultimate Guide to Twitter Chats for Educators. But I think you'll find some value there, especially if you're new to Twitter, and it'll get you going and get you started for sure.
Yes.
So Kyle, tell me a little bit about what inspired you to pursue a career in education.
I wanted to do something that really matters. I want to know that in this world, there are so many opportunities, and I want to look back in the end and say, I did something that really, really matters. And I had the fortunate opportunities growing up to try a lot of different jobs. Many of them required hard work. I began even in high school and earlier, I was washing cars at a Ford dealership. Being from the Midwest in Indiana originally, I also picked blueberries and I detasseled corn and I worked on a few different farms, one of them with my grandpa. I had some really good lessons learned in hard work with my dad on the construction site. I also worked in landscaping and I also rode on a semi for about 5 years, part-time in college and over the summers and the holiday breaks, delivering RC Cola to several different places around Northwest Indiana. And from that, I realized that anything that you do and anything that matters takes hard work. And I learned so many lessons in a hard work ethic. And I realized by having the opportunity to try several different careers and jobs growing up, even before college, that I was cut out for some more than others, or I could say my passions lied more with people, and I love people. Mm. And it came in high school when I was coaching a fourth grade basketball league, and I did that for 3 years in high school. And coaching fourth graders and having it be basketball in the state of Indiana is powerful. And from that, I thought, this is something that I really love to do. I loved people. I loved working with kids. And it was from there that I thought maybe I could do something that's more people oriented. And in college, I realized it would be education.
I don't know about you, but I had enough on my plate just thinking about how to operate a building and how to develop my people. That was enough. And that doesn't even include parents. That doesn't even include student issues. And it definitely doesn't include where am I going to find the funding to run all the great programs my students deserve. Well, the great news is I have an amazing free resource for you, the Top 10 School Fundraising Ideas for 2017. That's available at schoolzonepodcast.com. In this guide, you will be exposed to the best fundraising ideas for schools in 2017. And my favorite company that's described in the guide is School Spirit Vending. The reason School Spirit Vending rises above the rest is because they make fundraising so incredibly hassle-free. What if a company would come in, install vending machines with customized stickers? That's right, stickers that had your logo, that had your mascot, that had whatever you and your students wanted installed. They come in, they take care of the machines. You do no work besides having the machines installed in the school, and you get a cut of the profit. That's where you're going to find money to actually run these programs. So check out the Top 10 School Fundraising Ideas for 2017 at schoolzonepodcast.com and definitely give School Spirit Vending a call. Tell them Danny Sunshine sent you. And now you're at ASCD Emerging Leader. Tell me, what was that like, winning that award, and you know, what kind of doors has that opened for you?
Well, to be selected as one of the top 50 educators by ASCD in 2016 was such an honor. and so humbling. I can't believe the network that is offered through ASCD, the kinds of leaders that you're connected with is so, so amazing, so powerful. Some of my favorite times are when there are invitation-only opportunities as being an ASCD emerging leader where we can have a book chat directly with an author, and there will be a small group of us, and we would connect, and we can ask the author questions directly. It's very intimate, and it's through that I realized that behind all of the leadership qualities, behind all of the great books written and publications and podcasts and tweets, there are people, and these people are real people, and they are authentic. And talking directly to them and hearing that they've had some session proposals declined, they've had some book proposals declined, they've had some trials along the way where they tried, but then they failed and they tried again. And it was the process that I thought was really, really, really interesting, really authentic, that opened my eyes that everyone is not perfect and everything doesn't have to be exactly scripted. These people are real and they're sharing their life. And I think people crave that nowadays.
Yeah, my mentor, Aaron Walker, he's been on the show two times. He's talked about how people crave authenticity. I think that's one reason I've been successful with growing my masterminds. And at the time of this recording, it's in July, but this is getting released in January. You know, at the time of this recording, I have 36 clients that I absolutely love working with, to see them, you know, grow and take on challenges, obstacles head on, and get the support of the group to work through them has been a pure joy. We've created a space where we can be authentic, where we don't have to have it all figured out, where we could say, I need help here. Like, I don't know what to do in this really tough, maybe sometimes even frightening situation. And there's folks that want you to win. That's what the mastermind's all about. And Aaron's taught that to me. So it's a gift, you know, that I think I can work with educators in that way. But, you know, you're going to face obstacles. You're going to get knocked down. But the key is to get back up. And in July and August, we read Ego's the Enemy by Ryan Holiday. But another book that I'll recommend to you and then to listeners is to read The Obstacle is the Way, and how a number of quote unquote successful people around the U.S. and the globe managed to work through challenges that actually became opportunities based on the perspective and mindset, you know, that they took toward the problem. Because that's real. You're gonna get faced with stuff that you just don't want to deal with. But it's like, how do you respond? That's why at the end of each show, right? It's 10% of what happens to you in life, but 90% of how you respond to it. I read
exactly.
That. Yeah, every single show. So I appreciate you sharing that, and it's great to hear that in those private moments that you get to work with authors, that they are telling you the reality of what they've been through. And I think that encourages us as we try to get there. So Kyle, I love this quote by Derek Sivers. What is ordinary to you is extraordinary to me. And I'm curious how you would answer this question. What would you consider your superpower?
My superpower would be to realize that the more I know, the more I realize I don't know. My superpower would be to constantly seek opportunities to learn and grow from others.
And over the last year, what are you particularly proud of accomplishing at your school?
At my school, I am very proud to have tried something new. For 13 years, I was a fifth grade math and science teacher, which I loved. And I was literally in my box, if you consider your classroom a box. And I decided after 13 years to try something new. And I became a STEM specialist. And so now I am in a different space. And I am reaching 1,000 students a week, kindergarten through fifth grade. And my first year as a STEM specialist, I was on a cart. And so teaching on a cart is an entirely different experience than teaching in just one space or one classroom. I'm now going into all spaces of the school, and I'm getting to know educators who are my colleagues but I'm seeing them in a different way. And it was such a great growth opportunity for me. And also I realized you don't have to just teach in one place. Learning can happen anywhere. I loved going outside. I loved never having the same class in the same place one week after the next. I loved having freedom to try new things. It was so eye-opening. And also it helped me really appreciate my fellow colleagues and staff members even more. I realized that they work extremely hard. They have strategies that are different than mine, but equally effective. I learned that the rest of the school still happens. The rest of the school still goes on, even though it's not in my classroom. Teaching on a cart and teaching STEM and just one time trying something new, now it began like a waterfall where I'm willing to try all kinds of new things. I don't have to just stick to a script, so to speak. It's okay to try something new. It's okay to go ask another teacher down the hall for advice or help. And that was such a great experience for me. And I'm forever grateful for the opportunity to teach on a cart because it is hard work and it's unique. But at the same time, it offers you flexibility and freedom and these experiences that give you vision that you would have never had otherwise.
What led to that change from when you were in just the box to being a STEM specialist and teaching on a cart?
What led to the change is that I wanted to try something new. I realized that fifth grade math and science was so much fun, and I have done it for 13 years, and I wondered if there was another way that I could be effective in my school. I was wondering if there was another way that I could still try to provide students with hands-on learning and to have them own their learning, but maybe in a different format, maybe in a deeper reach or a broader impact. And seeing all 1,000 students in a week has provided me that opportunity. And it also provides me the opportunity to work with other staff members too. And so now I'm approaching them and saying, how can we work together? How can we make this learning experience even better for our young learners? And that's also planted a seed to where I could consider being an administrator someday. And just the thought has spurred me on to look forward into Twitter and to reach out to other administrators and to see what they're doing and the risk that they're taking. And it's really interesting to see their growth journeys and experiences as well.
What excites you about that journey and one day potentially becoming a school administrator?
I really like the idea of having a deeper impact. And I really am glad that I've had the classroom teaching experience first. And so being a classroom teacher for 13 years and now being a specialist, a little different format, I see that I have a few different experiences. I have the background. So I would like to eventually have a deeper reach or deeper impact or another opportunity to make learning experiences better for students and to improve education overall.
This podcast is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators and podcasts by educators. Listen to all the great education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com. That's edupodcastnetwork.com. What do you consider one class we should add to our schools that's not currently taught of or taught that you know of? Excuse me.
Wow. It's an interesting question because if you hear the quote of the percentage of students right now, currently, their jobs are not yet created. So it's almost like, how can you know what classes or learning experiences to offer? I think I'm going to have to say that my STEM special, I would love to see that as a regular class.
Can you describe, I guess, what that course entails?
The STEM special position that I'm in currently is wonderful. It provides so many learning opportunities for students. It is flexible, so it does not have to be just this or just that. STEM is hands-on. STEM is students owning their learning. STEM can be integrating technology, or sometimes the best time is not integrating technology. STEM can be integrated with curriculum and your learning experiences in the classroom, or STEM can be a separate project. I like STEM because even though there are so many definitions and applications out there nowadays, I really like the flexibility that is currently in my role to try to make learning the best possible that we can for our students.
And Kyle, when you think of the word leader, who's the first person that comes to mind?
Wow, that is such a loaded question. Wow. You know, at different times in your life and in different areas of your life, you have different leaders. There are leaders that are personal and close to you and ones you see every day. There are leaders that are students. There are leaders that are adults and educators and teachers. Then also you have leaders in your professional walk as well. I always try to abide by the vision that at all times in your life, you need three kinds of people in your life. You need mentors for sure. You need same age or same level people as you. And also you need mentees. So when I think of the word leader, it's so powerful and so dynamic. A few that come to my mind for sure that I don't see every day. For sure, when you think of the word leader, you have to say John Maxwell. And also another one is Dr. Steven Weber. And I think he's been on this show before.
Yeah, he is. He's great. Yeah,
yeah. He is great. You can't say his name without smiling. He's an associate superintendent now in Arkansas, but he was in North Carolina for quite a while. I had the opportunity to meet him face-to-face several times. We talk still. He is intentional about keeping connections in North Carolina and maintaining a dialogue. I just had a Voxer conversation with him a couple of days ago. He is passionate about curriculum and making learning better overall. He's fantastic. He's a great guy. Another leader that comes to mind immediately, one that I don't see every day, is Derek McCoy. And Derek McCoy is a principal at West Rowan Middle School, right here in North Carolina. He pushes me to become better, to think in other ways. And he really encourages me to take risks. And another leader that I see every so often locally here is Chris Tuttle. And Chris Tuttle is a teacher she's an instructional technology facilitator. And she's a leader because she's so inspirational and happy and positive. She actually started two Twitter movements, educational movements, if you will. One of them is Kudos Cookies. It's hashtag Kudos Cookies, Kudos with a K and Cookies with a K. And Kudos Cookies is when she attaches a message to a treat, cookies or something else, or sometimes a healthy choice, and she'll give it to students to brighten their day, to accentuate the positive and say, I really like the way that you did this. But she's also extended it now to her staff members and then even to her PLN, her professional learning network locally. And it's just that little bit of positivity, that little extra that's very, very meaningful. And she's also started another educational movement called Kinders Can, hashtag Kinders Can. And the idea behind that is all the time we underestimate, we put limits on what our young learners can do. And she says, if hashtag Kinders Can do this, then why can't we? She says, don't underestimate what Kinders can do, because Kinders can do so much more than we ever thought capable.
Oh, absolutely.
And another leader that I talk to frequently, nearly every day, is Melanie Farrell. She encourages me to try new things. She gives me a perspective to think outside the box. And that's very, very special to me. And another leader locally that I see here is Bill Ferreter. And Bill is one that will push a conversation almost to the uncomfortable at times, but it's good because you need people in your life that will help you be well-rounded, that will help you think in different ways, give you a different perspective and different viewpoints. And I think it's important to have both. I think you need fellow educators, fellow leaders, you need mentors, same age or same level, you need mentees, you need all of those people in your life, you need people that you see locally every day, and you need your extended professional learning network too, because they all have a way of shaping your own leadership. And I try to take pieces of all of them, and I try to make it the best version of me. And when you see people locally and you know that you're going to see them tomorrow or the next day or over a cup of coffee, you know that your level of accountability is different. It's changed because we're going to be accountable face to face, which is a little bit different than having a conversation with someone on Voxer a couple of states away.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I want to reiterate it and have the listener, you should reflect right now, who are the mentors in your life? And I think for some time, Kyle, you know, I felt almost sorry for myself that I couldn't find a mentor. But then, you know, you have to realize and open your mind to the possibilities that maybe your mentor doesn't even have to be living, right? You can learn from books and videos and tapes. And, you know, there's so many resources out there that you can be mentored by folks that you never even meet. And a lot of my early mentorship in the most recent years has been through podcasts. That's how I found my mentor, Aaron Walker. And then I chose to put money down and invest. So, you know, I practice what I preach. I don't just lead masterminds. I'm in one so that I continue to grow personally, professionally. And you talked about how that face-to-face, I mean, we meet virtually, but it's really important to see people like that and to be held accountable for stuff you say you're going to do. And it's great as well, Kyle, because we've got folks from America, Canada, Australia, China, and I'm in talks with somebody in South Africa and somebody in the Netherlands. So, I mean, this is a global thing. You know, it's cool. So the listeners, you need to reflect, like, how are you investing? Who is your mentor? Peers? Who are your peers that you are, you know, shoulder to shoulder with and doing the work with? And who are your mentees that you're giving back to?
Yes.
And just to also say, Stephen, shout out to Stephen. He was on episode number 80. And shout out to Derek. He was on episode number 70.
Nice. Two dynamic leaders right there.
Two dynamic That's leaders. Right. And you go to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type in their first names. And the show will pop up. Eventually, when we're done recording here, type in Kyle. And his show is going to pop up at betterleadersbetterschools.com. So, Kyle, we're moving into the quick fire round, and I want to ask you, what is one book every principal should read right now and why?
Quick fire. Well, right now, I'm going to throw it back to one of my classics. I have this on my desk as we speak. It's called What Connected Educators Do Differently, and it's by Todd Whitaker, Jimmy Cassis, and Jeffrey Zuhl. And this book's been around for a while, and I read it a while ago. And I call it a classic because although it's all about connecting on Twitter, which some may be new to still at this time, it's more about not connecting just on Twitter. It's more about the reasons why we connect and how you can improve and enhance and extend your learning through connecting. And on page 2, I still have highlighted one of my all-time favorite quotes from my library of books right here. And it says on page 2, if you can believe it or not, educators, like any other professionals, need peer-to-peer interactions and reciprocal investments in order to grow and develop. And the phrase I especially love there is reciprocal investments. So if you are a leader, you need to invest in other people. You need to reciprocate. You need to set aside time to actively build up others. Leadership is not just about growing yourself. It's also about building up others.
Love that book. Love the authors. I've interviewed Jeff Zoll, episode 24, and Jeff and Jimmy on episode 107, I want to say.
Nice.
So listeners could go back and check that out as well. But Kyle, you're bringing back some oldies but goodies for me for sure.
Yes, sir.
What do you do for fun, Kyle?
For fun? I really enjoy going for a nice long bike ride. So I have a road bike and I like to look for trails. And there's something about the time to be unplugged, which is rare for me. But the time that I am unplugged somewhere riding a bike and not necessarily for speed, but you get in a certain rhythm and it clears your mind and you can just feel the peace. It's almost restores your soul. It's nice to have a good long bike ride, especially in North Carolina here. We have beautiful weather and beautiful scenery.
Is there a particular mileage you try to hit each time, or is it just to, like you said, clear the mind and unplug?
It's more about clearing the mind And it's more about setting aside time to get exercise and to do some deep personal reflection. I usually at the minimum 20 miles, but sometimes 40 or 50. I really enjoy doing charity rides. So charity rides for MS or diabetes or sometimes Habitat for Humanity. Wonderful causes. And you meet very, very nice people there as well. So the connecting face-to-face, it's something that I really, really enjoy doing.
That's great. And Kyle, if you could be automatically good at something, what would it be?
Wow. If I could be automatically good at something, I would be, there are so many different possibilities. If you could be automatically good at something, I would be good at understanding people better. Sometimes people can pose a certain way through all of our social media in a text, and that's different than what you might glean from them in face-to-face conversations. So part of my journey through my learning and education and through life has been gaining perspective and understanding. And I have some personal life examples in the last year. I've gotten married, and my wonderful wife is so, so patient. She's my best friend. I love her. And in addition, we are expecting here in about 3 or 4 months. So,
wow, congratulations.
Yes, yes. This is July. We're expecting in November. So I'm so excited about that. So for a long time, I was an educator, single and driven and very, very much dedicated, where I was taking work home every night and working 2 to 3 hours extra. I also am a director for our after school program, which runs 4 hours after our school dismisses. And I love all of that. But now as a husband and now as an expecting father, I'm starting to see a different perspective. And I'm starting to realize, wow, earlier in my career, I may have reacted differently in a conversation or a different situation. Now I have a little bit different perspective. Now, Tom Murray quoted, every student that walks through the door is your child. It's a different perspective now. Being a husband and now an expecting father, a parent educator I'm seeing is apparently different than any other experience I've had. And so the ability to empathize with others in my school who are parent educators and who say, I have this obligation with my child. I can't go to this meeting that's after hours. I have this obligation with my family on the weekend. And so I'll be doing that this weekend. I understand what that means a little better now. And for sure, I'm expecting even better after our first child is born. So that little perspective has been a huge impact on my education and teaching already.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. A lot of podcasts I listen to, about the entrepreneurial bent and starting businesses and that kind of thing and leadership. And a lot of guests talk about how they were pushed to do what they do now. And so they either got fired or ran out of their job, or they had what's called the baby effect, which I think you're experiencing. So you're going to produce so much more work and higher quality work in time that you didn't even realize was possible just because the sun is here. And you're like, man, how I was just wasting time before. So, but that's great. You know, family first, Kyle, just encourage you to definitely keep them your priority.
Thank you.
And then, you know, focus on your work after that. Kyle, what message would you put on all school marquees across the globe if you could do so for just a day?
I would say, we're here for the students. That's it. We're here for the students. There's so much media and stimuli that inundates us every day, so much that when we set foot on campus, we need to be extra conscious to check it at the door and realize we're here for the students. We're here for our learners. We need to make it, we need to make their learning experiences as special as we possibly can.
Conferences, piles of flyers, getting stuck in endless email lists and never-ending calls, there's an easier way to sort through and identify the best school fundraisers. School Spirit Vending proudly presents the Top 10 School Fundraising Ideas of 2017. It's a guide of the top fundraising companies hand-picked from the best podcast. As an added bonus, this guide lists five resource companies that would add tremendous value to your community, school, and students. The best part is that School Spirit Vending is giving the guide away completely free. Are you ready to simplify the search? Download the free guide at schoolzonepodcast.com. You made it, Kyle, to the end of the interview. You know this question was coming. You're building a school from the ground up. You're not limited by budget or resources. Your only limitation is your imagination. How would you build your dream school, and what would be your top three priorities?
My dream school would be flexible. And here's why. My top three priorities, number one, people. I want a diverse team of thinkers. I want some educators who specialize in one area and some who specialize in another. I would like a diverse skill set. I would like the people to work together, and I would love to build relationships with them and for all of us to build relationships with each other, because anything that was of value has started with people and building a great foundation and relationships together. Secondly, especially after teaching STEM on a cart, I would love flexible spaces. So I really enjoy teaching outside as well as inside, and really learning can happen anywhere. If it's raining, you could go underneath an awning. If this space is already taken, you could go in the hallway. Learners can go and split up to different rooms in different spaces. I think when we start out with saying, what do we want students to learn and how can we make this learning experience as special as we can for them, your spaces naturally fill. You can see learning opportunities available just for them. And then finally, third, I would look at resources. Being a STEM specialist, I love integrating technology for the right reasons. That means to put student learning first and then seeing how technology can enhance or make the learning experience even better. I would love technology, and it does not necessarily have to be the latest and greatest technology, but it needs to be meaningful technology, technology that will enable students to extend their learning, that will empower students.
Well, Kyle, thank you so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Do you have any parting words of advice, and what's the best way to get a hold of you?
I would say to my parting words, teach and learn for all the right reasons. Do it because you want to and not because you have to. And if you would like to contact me, I am at Kyle Hamstra on Twitter, and my website is kylehamstra.com, where I post frequent reflections about recent conferences, such as presenting at ISTE or ASCD L2L, or also about classroom and learning experiences. And one of my recent is about the heart beats and how my educator perspective is changing now as an expectant father. So thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. It's an honor.
Absolutely. And Better Leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Daniel and Kyle. Be better starting today by heading over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Kyle in the search bar. The show notes page will pop up. You'll get the highlights of today's episode, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect. Kyle, thanks for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Better leaders, just a few more things before you take off. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the show. This helps gives the show some social proof, aka iTunes juice, and encourages new people to listen to the show. If you are a social media junkie, share your biggest takeaway from the show, and feel free to tag me on Twitter or Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer. Take the letters, switch them around, and create something interesting and new. That's how I got it. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Do you want to get a short email from me every Sunday where I share the best resources I have come across? links to interesting articles, books, blogs, and podcasts that have challenged my thinking, and a quote that's inspired me and will inspire you as well. If you'd like access to this resource, head over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and join the newsletter at the top of the page. Over 1,000 school leaders subscribe, and I think you'll benefit from it too. In the newsletter, I also share when a new blog or podcast comes out, as well as different opportunities to work with me. Thanks again for listening to the show.